This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, I'm Monuente Reme. I played Icheb on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me for the second time is Liam Smart. Suzanne is still out of commission with technical difficulties, but we do have a special announcement to make. Starting right now, Liam will be joining us as a permanent host of To the Journey. Liam, welcome officially to the Journey.
Surprise! Thanks, Zach. It's really exciting to be talking Voyager now with you, hopefully every fortnight, and Suzanne when she gets back from her technical difficulties. I kind of feel like she's probably on holiday on New Earth.
We're so excited to have you. For some time now, Suzanne and I had talked about bringing on a third host to the Journey. We miss having Kay. We miss having someone with an accent. So you fill that bill nicely.
It's a requirement.
And you'd been writing to us for some time, wanting to get involved with To the Journey. And before you know it, boom, you're hosting To the Journey. See how that works?
Yeah. I guess I'm a very persistent person. So yeah, no, it is cool. It's a podcast that I've listened to from the outset with Shara and Tristan all the way through Kay and yourself and Suzanne. And it's really exciting to be part of it.
That is quite a back catalog to work your way through.
Oh, yeah. I remember most of the episodes. There's always a lot of fun listening to them, and hopefully I can participate and have our listeners enjoy the episodes we make as well.
Well, we're so happy to have you joining us. You and I and Suzanne have been chatting for quite a few weeks now offline before you joined us, getting to know each other a little bit. We thought it would be fun to introduce you to our listeners by having a bit of a Q&A session about Voyager, getting to know you, getting to know your relationship with Voyager, getting to know your take on things. We've been chatting for a while, so we've got a little bit of a handle on this on our end. It's a shame Suzanne can't join us. Her microphone's out of commission. She'll be joining us again soon. We should emphasize, too, that Suzanne is not leaving To the Journey. Suzanne is just having some technical difficulties. It will be the three of us permanently going forward. So you listeners who love Suzanne, like we all love Suzanne, don't worry, don't panic. Suzanne will be back here in a few weeks. In the meantime, Liam and I are going to carry the mantle of To the Journey and keep new episodes moving forward. But we thought it'd be fun to get to know you a bit, Liam. So let's dive in and start asking you some Voyager questions.
Yeah, go for it. It'll be interesting to see what you come up with and to ask.
Well, before we get started, tell us just a little bit about yourself, your background, what you've done, where you are, where you're going, that kind of thing.
So my Star Trek Tinder profile.
I wouldn't have put it in those terms, but go for it.
Well, I'm 30. No, so I'm 30. I live in Adelaide, South Australia. But I'm originally from the UK. I moved here when I was 16. So half my life I've been in the UK, the other half in Australia. I work at a bank, which is incredibly boring, but I'm also a part-time uni student studying maths and physics. I finished my last exams this week, actually, for the semester, so I've got the whole summer off now. I am at uni basically because I want to join the Bureau of Meteorology. I've got a keen interest in weather and climate.
Which featured last week, actually.
It did.
If you remember.
Just anything about the weather. I would love to come to the US to go tornado chasing across like the middle of the country, which I think people have said that I'm a bit psychotic to want to do. But I think it'll be a lot of fun.
So working in a bank, what do you do? Are you a professional Latinum changer?
Yeah, I'm a Ferengi. No, I'm an assistant branch manager. So I've been there for 10 years since I was 20. And I basically boss my boss around. I'm one of those people. everything from telling to writing mortgages. So hence why I'm back at uni, because it's not the most fun thing to do. I want to work in the weather. That's more exciting.
It sounds like real exciting work.
What, weather or bank?
I was being ironic about the bank. Oh. But the weather sounds very exciting. Tornado chasing sounds like fun.
Oh, it would be. And I mean, I'd like to work up in Darwin or Cairns, in the north of Australia, for the tropical cyclones that we get through the summer. I like severe weather. I may be doing an honours project as well on fire weather and how bushfires sort of formulate in the mid-north of South Australia. So that'll be cool if I can get into that.
I think one thing that's interesting about Star Trek in general is just how unifying it is. All the different things people do, different walks of life, different parts of the world, and everyone has Star Trek in common.
Yeah.
Well, we do at least.
Yeah. And I mean, you don't get to see much weather-related episodes, which I find quite sad. I mean, there's that one in, I think, was it Deep Space Nine? That there was a weather-related episode.
There was the one with O'Brien having to tell the storm to go away by telling his narrative, right?
Oh, maybe. I can't remember. All I know is there was...
He had to get up there in his robe and tell the people's story and make the monster in the clouds go away.
Oh, yes, I do remember that one.
Very dramatic weather in that episode.
Yes, there was.
And I can't remember the episode name off the top of my head.
Oh, no. That wasn't the same episode where they were on Riser and they were making...
That was another one
in Deep Space Nine, wasn't it? We need a Voyager one. Why didn't they do that? You had the storm on New Earth, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess I don't think of weather much when I think of Voyager.
No.
I guess you do get a little bit of weather in Resolutions. Mm.
Yep. That's about the only one I can think of. Oh, well, actually, I would like to just say that we didn't mention New Earth in last fortnight's podcast about destinations that you could go on holiday to, and I feel like Suzanne may have been upset about that one.
That being one of her favorite episodes, naturally, mm-hmm. given her relationship to somewhat dysfunctional relationship with Chakotay and Captain Janeway. Yep, she was a little disappointed. We forgot to put that one in the list last time.
But it's okay. I would visit there. Suzanne, that's for you.
Well, let's start talking about Voyager a bit. Mm-hmm. Tell us when and how you discovered Voyager. Like, how old were you? Who introduced you to it? What's your first memory of Voyager?
So I guess I don't fully remember the first time I watched it. I do think, though, I know Mum and Dad introduced it, because when we were in the UK, it was airing on Sky One. So I know that they let me watch an episode because Dad thought I would like the episode after reading the synopsis of it. And that episode was Drive. And I do remember that being the first episode that I watched.
Oh, interesting.
Because I like motor racing as well. And
with those awesome uniforms and that.
Mm, yeah, I mean, I would love a jacket that looks like one of those uniforms. That would be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because I love my Formula One, and Dad's like, well, there's a racing episode in space. Of course he's going to like it. So yeah, he said I could stay up and watch that one. I think I was about 10, I think. It was about 2000, 2001. No, 2000.
So it would have been, while it was still running, right?
Yeah, it was during, whilst it was on air.
I wasn't really sure how old you were and whether you watched Voyager in its original run or if you only caught it in reruns.
I did catch, I think it's mostly season 7. Like, I watched some episodes here and there, but then I was watching the reruns that would just be appearing on Sky whenever they would show up, really. But Voyager was the first Trek that I watched.
If you were 10 years old in the year 2000, that makes me feel awfully old.
I'm sorry. I feel the old one at uni, though, because I'm the 30-year-old and everyone else is 22. But yeah, no, Voyager, my parents watched it. It wasn't their favourite. Their favourite was TNG, but I never watched TNG until a lot later on.
I guess that was one of the questions I had for you. Were you a Star Trek fan in general, or was Voyager your very first introduction to Star Trek?
Yeah, Voyager was definitely my first and will probably remain my favorite series just because it was my first. Like, you never forget your first, I suppose. But that's not to say that I appreciate other series any less. I think Voyager is just going to be my favorite series just because it was the first one I listened to and I got a lot of memories from it. But Deep Space Nine is also up there as one of what I feel like the best series.
That's interesting because for me, the very first Star Trek I watched, of course, was the original series when I was a little kid because I was, you know, I wasn't born in 1990. I was I was alive before TNG existed. And then, of course, I kind of grew up watching TNG as a, you know, preteen and teenager. Mm. And then later in life, I discovered Voyager. I remember watching the premiere of Voyager, but I didn't really fall in love with Voyager until I was away at grad school and started watching Voyager on TV when I was in grad school. So for me, I kind of did this migration from TNG to Voyager as my favorite show.
Ah. See, I didn't watch TNG, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, until after Star Trek 09 came out. Because I lost interest in Star Trek, I guess, after Voyager. My parents didn't watch Enterprise because they didn't really like...
No one else did either, don't worry.
Oh, no, I really enjoy Enterprise now.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
But they couldn't get past, and I know that there'll be some backlash for this comment, but they couldn't get past Scott Bakula's acting. For them, it was a struggle. So then I didn't watch it either because they were in control of the TV, really. So I sort of lost interest. And then Star Trek wasn't the coolest thing to watch, I guess, growing up in the UK.
Oh, well, out here it was, you know, here in the United States, it was obviously the coolest thing to watch.
Yep. No, so I sort of lost interest until Star Trek 09 came back out. And then I watched that and thought, oh my God, I remember watching all these episodes of Voyager when I was younger. And I went out and bought all the DVDs for Voyager and I watched them. And then I thought, you know what? I really enjoyed that. And then Netflix came around and then they're all on Netflix. So I thought, I'll just binge watch TNG and Deep Space Nine and Enterprise. Not TOS, though.
Have you since caught up on TOS?
I've seen select episodes that I feel would be relevant. So The Cage, The Menagerie, Trouble with Tribbles. I started watching like them in order, and I think I only got three episodes through, and I thought, oh, I just can't do it. It's not that they're bad. It's just I guess I'm used to the quality of TV now and in the 90s, that the special effects and that of the 60s and the style of acting, etc., I struggled with.
I suspect that 11 or 12 years difference in age, if you were born in 1989 and I was born in 1978, makes a huge difference to how we perceive older television.
I reckon so.
You know, I think television from the 80s wasn't too far removed from television from the late 60s. Whereas if you're, you know, being born in the 90s and you know, being a kind of preteen in the early 2000s, you know, catching the qualitative change in television that was taking place at that point might make it really hard to go back and relate to the style of writing and filming in the original series. Yeah. And maybe even early TNG episodes.
Mm. And I feel like that's pretty much what it is for me. And like my partner who's born in 1992 won't watch TNG because he can't do it for the same reason as I am for TOS.
But I would say Voyager in general is maybe the spirit child of the original series. Like the original series was a ship out there on the frontier encountering a new species every week, new alien worlds, strange new worlds. It was supposed to be a wagon train to the stars. Voyager kind of inverted that a little bit by throwing Voyager on the other side of the galaxy and having them, you know, work their way home. But they're essentially out there on the frontier by themselves. And of all the Star Trek series, I think Voyager gets back to the heart of the original series being kind of a morality play in space on the frontier.
Well, I mean, it shares that aspect of, just from a viewer perspective, we haven't seen a lot of those aliens and a lot of those storylines before because we've been so used to being in the mm-hmm. Alpha Quadrant and the Beta Quadrant that for some reason, well, obviously with the Caretaker, we're out in the Delta Quadrant and we're seeing everything new for the first time along with the crew. And I suppose that ties in with what you're saying about it being quite similar in that respect to TOS.
Yeah, because Deep Space Nine and to some extent even TNG, the Alpha Quadrant was so pacified at that point already. It was a nice safe place to be where they just ferry diplomats around and deal with the social political stuff in the Alpha Quadrant. But you know, there's not often a sense of danger on the frontier and radically unknown things that you get in the original series. And I think Voyager captures that a bit better than Deep Space Nine and TNG.
Mm. I agree with that. The only thing that Deep Space Nine sometimes has for me over Voyager is I do feel like the storyline of Deep Space Nine, how it's over all of those seasons, is a lot more appealing instead of the...
That's because you were born in 1989.
Again, instead of the episode a week kind of thing. But Voyager will always be my favorite because it is the first.
Yeah, and it's interesting because for me, I don't have much time to devote to getting into a story like that. It's hard for me to get into. It's the same reason I don't read novel series. I just can't devote that much time to it. So I like my little, you know, 45 minutes of TV where I get my morality play an interesting miniature story. It's like reading a short story. I can read a short story, but I can't read a novel to save my life these days. So I've always been more drawn to episodic television than long storyline. Maybe for that reason, I just never have the time to devote to a long storyline.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like long, complex storylines that could bring back something from three seasons ago.
And it's interesting because I don't really enjoy mysteries for the same reason. I just, you know, the plot intricacies are not what I enjoy out of fiction.
And I think that's one of the reasons I love Star Trek as a whole, is that you've got maybe not necessarily Voyager as much, but the majority of the series all intertwine with each other one way or another, whereby it's building a story that happened in Discovery, a story happening from TOS, or Deep Space Nine bringing TNG stuff on board and vice versa. It's just a whole world that you can sink your teeth into.
So I wanted to ask you if you have any significant memories of watching Voyager, or any significant associations you make with Voyager, like watching Voyager with a particular family member or friend, or in a particular setting or an important time in your life. You know, what did Voyager mean to you in that spatio-temporal locatedness of your life?
I guess during the first run, like the first time I was watching it back when I was 10, 11, I was probably so into it that I actually wrote my own episode of Star Trek in like...
We have to do that as dialogue. An episode of To the Journey.
It's so long ago, and I threw it all away because my English teacher, because I gave it to her, and she said it sucked, basically.
That's a shame. I was actually hoping we could just do a read-through of it.
Oh, with the voices. It was so clearly plagiarized, though, because I had a Borg character and everything. Like, I didn't use the same characters. It was...
Like 6 of 8?
It was pretty much like that. I think it was 4 of 9 or 4 of 7 or something like that. And I know that it was about the Borg, and it was something to do with After Unimatrix Zero, I think. If somebody has the time and they want to go back on the Babel conference, I did post in a thread somewhere the whole idea behind it a couple of years ago. I could go back and find it, but I don't know what...
You got to dig that out.
I don't know what post I put it on. I wonder if I can search for it. But yeah, no, it was my English teacher did not like it, but she was a bit prim and proper and not into science fiction. Other than that, I guess after, as I said, after Star Trek 09, I bought all the DVDs and I was still living at home then. And I made mum watch some episodes with me. And when I say made, I'd harass her into watching them. And she was like, oh, fine, I'll have a cup of tea and I'll watch them. And I guess it's not really like an absolutely significant thing. It's just something that stuck in my mind as something that we've done together. And because they were the ones that introduced me to Voyager, and like mum likes Captain Janeway, dad hates Captain Janeway.
Why does your dad hate Captain Janeway?
I don't really know. He's never been able to put a finger on why he doesn't like her. He just prefers Picard.
Picard is, I mean, he's basically a boardroom leader, right? So he'll sit around, want to hear everyone's opinions. He's deliberate. He's, you know, he doesn't get riled up too easily.
And I think that might be
I don't think Captain Janeway does either, but she's more action-oriented than Picard.
That's probably more like it, because my dad is very much a person who will sit there and spend 2 years trying to work out how to do something before he makes his decision on things and listens to everyone's opinion. So maybe he just relates to Jean-Luc a bit more. That and he's bald like him.
Yeah, Captain Picard's like the middle manager of the Federation.
Yeah, that sounds like my dad. And the other one, I suppose, is the episode Virtuoso with the Doctor and is it Kobali? Not Kobali, no.
Wait, if Drive and Virtuoso were your two main impressions of the origins of Voyager, that's an interesting introduction, racing and singing.
Yeah. No, well, with
what is the show about?
No, my partner and I went on holiday in 2016. We decided to do like a driving holiday down to the lower southeast of SA in the depths of winter, which was cold. Not as cold as it is in Idaho, but anyway, we were staying in a cabin with no heating or anything like that. And he was sitting there on his phone watching Virtuoso. It's nothing really major happened. It was just sort of like, I finally got you to watch Voyager. So to me, that's one of the memories that I have. And I suppose also when I'm at uni, anytime I hear certain words, I sort of like lean over to a friend who I also made watch Voyager. And I'd be like, Omega Directive.
See,
and just like whenever the term omega's used in maths or something, I'll just bring it up and then and I did write in an exam.
Wait, this is like Star Trek Voyager free associations,
right? Pretty
every
much
time,
yeah.
You hear a certain word associated with the Voyager, you immediately say the Voyager phrase it's associated with.
Yeah, pretty much. when we're in,
or it's like a Voyager Rorschach test or something. It looks like Voyager to me.
Yeah. The other thing is I was in an exam for first year physics and they were asking what a geodesic is. And I could not for the life of me remember what it was, but I could remember the geodesic fold in that episode with the Ferengi trying to steal 7 of 9. So I wrote the entire synopsis to the episode in my exam and then got to the end and I'm like, this is what a geodesic is.
And what did your professor think of this?
He emailed me and he laughed because he's watched a lot of Voyager and he said that he made a Voyager reference in his wedding vows. He said that his wife is his Janeway to his Chakotay.
Wow.
In his vows. And I'm like, yeah, there we go. So he loves Voyager as well.
Those are our spirit folk right there.
Exactly. But yeah, so, I mean, I do think about Voyager a lot. Do you have any associations and stuff with Voyager and significant memories?
Do I? Nothing specific. I remember watching Caretaker when it first premiered on my grandmother's old 1960s television with, you know, red, green, and blue color adjustments on it. It was this enormous console, ancient box of a television. And I think that's maybe the reason I thought Voyager was green, because I think it actually was green because of the television it was on. But so that's why just an interesting memory of being at my grandmother's house watching Voyager premiere, being so excited that a new Star Trek series was coming after having finished TNG. Where I really discovered and fell in love with Voyager, though, after having watched Caretaker, I stopped watching it, didn't really get into it. But I was living by myself in the grad student housing at UC Santa Cruz. I think we got like 5 cable channels or something with the free cable subscription they were giving us when, for the grad student housing. And Voyager was the only Star Trek I got on TV at the time. It was just the only show that was on one of those channels regularly. So I started watching it, and something about it spoke to me at the time. I was living by myself away from home and didn't really have any friends in the area, hadn't met that many people yet. And so, something about being lost and away from home and the sense of family that emerged out of Voyager spoke to me in the moment. And then I just started watching it regularly, and very quickly, I think it became my favorite Star Trek series, largely because of its lighthearted tone, I think. Deep Space Nine is brilliant. Now I see Deep Space Nine was brilliant, but at the time it was just dark, and I didn't really devote time to the storylines, and it didn't gel with me very much. But Voyager, for all the episodic reasons I mentioned before, really did gel with me, and so it was just very quickly it became my favorite series. Which is for me to say TNG is no longer my favorite series was significant, because I was a hardcore TNG fan. Wow. at that time. I also remember watching Endgame, being excited that it was going to wrap up, wondering whether Voyager was going to make it home or not. Like everyone else, wondering, are they going to make it home? And it was really the early days of the internet. I mean, this is only the internet in terms of a popular thing to do and place to be was only 4 or 5 years old at that point. I first got on the internet in 1997, and Voyager ended in 2001. So only 4 years after everyone started getting on the internet. So spoilers weren't really a thing yet. You couldn't really there was nothing teasing how the show was going to end. You just had to wait and see. So that was an important memory. Other than that, I don't know if I have any associations with particular episodes. And for me, Star Trek was always really a solitary thing. It's not something I did with friends, or not something I did culturally. It was just, it was my way to decompress, if I was stressed out about something, or in between stuff I had to do for school, is or in the evening while my mom and sister were busy doing things, I would watch Star Trek. And so no, I don't really have any social memories of watching Star Trek that way. But yeah, it's interesting that Voyager became my favorite series. I never would have predicted that circa 1994.
Out of all of that, you had to change the color on the TV?
Yes, you did.
What?
There were color. It was an old tube television. It was not, It was a.
And
there were color adjustments. There were red, green, and blue color adjustments on the front of the television, so you could adjust the color of your television. Yeah. Or maybe it was just red, green. Maybe not red, green, blue. It was a red, green tint, I think.
Wow.
Now that I think about it, yeah.
I don't know what to say to that. I guess I'm so used to the technology of now, hey.
Yeah, it was a console television. It was probprobably, it was probably 2.5 feet deep by, maybe 6 feet wide. Speakers built in on each side of the television with a tube in the middle. And it was rounded because it was one of these old televisions. It wasn't even squared off yet. It had more, it wasn't a circle, but it was more of a rounded appearance to it. And yeah, you could adjust the color and the brightness and some other things. But I remember the red-green tint in particular.
Wow. I mean, I had those big boxy TVs when I was younger, but I don't think I ever had to adjust the colors on them.
I remember sitting on my grandma's green shag carpet in her living room.
Oh, lovely.
In front of this old television, vividly remembering watching Caretaker. Yeah.
See that? I mean, it's not one of those things, again, that's like a major moment, but it's something that sticks in your mind about
it's
someone.
It's the setting, I think. Just being at my grandmother's house, and then all of the stuff that people don't have anymore, the green carpet and the old television and my grandmother's piano there, and just the whole environment doesn't exist anymore. And it's like a little miniature time capsule of memory for me.
And that's again, what I said about Virtuoso and watching them with mum.
Well, speaking of episodes, do you have any favorite episodes or least favorite episodes, and why? Let us know where you fall in the Voyager spectrum.
So I was thinking about favorite episodes, and I just started writing down episodes off the top of my head that I know that I really like, and then I figured they must be my favorite ones, and then I just started writing, and then I couldn't stop writing. But
so you eventually wrote all 100 and some odd episodes, right?
almost. No, so the ones that I guess come to mind a lot for me are Year of Hell, obviously, and Timeless, Drive, Omega Directive, Deadlock, Distant Origin.
Oh, interesting. I have to say, out of the ones you already mentioned, Distant Origin is kind of an outlier because you mentioned some kind of action-heavy episodes and...
Yeah, no, I just love the idea of
Distant Origin as an action episode.
I love that episode. Fury, which is surprising.
Wow, really? Fury? That is really surprising.
Because I really like Cass. And whilst that could have done a much better job, I just enjoy seeing the character again.
I think you were completely in the minority in putting Fury on your list of favorite Voyager episodes, which is awesome because, you know, I love when someone loves an episode that other people don't like. That's quite interesting. That would be totally towards the bottom of my list.
Really?
I love that it's at the top of yours. Yeah. There's nothing about that episode that I find interesting.
I mean, like I can appreciate that they probably didn't do a great job of bringing the character back in the way that they did. Cass is...
Angry Cass?
Yes, but Cass is probably my third favorite character overall. Sometimes she's at the top, depending on the episode that I'm watching. The other ones, obviously Shattered, just because we get to see all the things from the past again. Scientific Method.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
That's a very interesting episode.
I always overlook that episode. I never think of it in terms of my favorite episodes, but I really enjoy the episode every time it's on. I need to bump it up my list.
See, every time I have a headache or I'm doing something at work and I feel like super stressed out, I sometimes have thought that, oh my God, is somebody putting something into my head? Am I wearing a contraption like they do in that episode?
I can picture this, like you're sitting there managing your bank with your headache because it's been a long day at the bank, and you turn to your coworker and say, you know that episode of Voyager? That's what it's like right now.
They'd turn around to me and be like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. Threshold. I like Threshold for its
I do
silliness.
Too. I'm in the minority on that one. Yep.
Killing Game. Faces.
Interesting. Okay.
Dragon's Teeth.
Oh, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that. That's one of my favorites. Mm. And Suzanne is not a fan of the episode. I don't remember Kay being a fan of the episode either. But yeah, I can watch that one again and again. I love that episode. And I use that example all the time. Every time it rains and people start, you know, cowering away from the rain, I'm like, you should walk with dignity and, you know, hold your head high and don't cower from the rain. And then Captain Janeway would say, well, bring an umbrella, dummy.
And the last one, which I think is a little bit out there, is Critical Care.
Interesting. That's a very diverse set of episodes.
I think with Critical Care, it's just because of how realistic it is in terms of how... I mean, obviously, they're not like we don't have people in the slums of the hospitals, etc. Well, it might be in America. I don't really know.
depends which side of the tracks you live on.
Yeah, it's just a very interesting episode in terms of how it does parallel the fact that if you've got a lot of money, you get private cover, you've got a lot better care. But as the least favorite, I feel like Suzanne will kill me, but... The fight, I really don't like the fight. It's the only one that I skip.
I can skip that as well.
And I'm not much of a fan of Nemesis either. And I know they're both
interesting.
Chakotay
episodes.
That
one I do enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And they're both Chakotay episodes, so Suzanne, I'm really sorry.
I guess the only thing I really like about Nemesis is the end of Nemesis. You know, I like the moral of the story. And,
yeah.
You know, it's an awfully long episode to... you know, work your way through just to get to a great, great punchline at the end.
Yeah, and I think that's my problem is that it goes on for too long. Like, I like the whole idea of, like, some of the weird terminology that the people on the planet use. I just find it boring. But yeah, they're the only two episodes that come to mind and I think my least favorite.
It's fascinating from a linguistic standpoint. It's not exactly like Darmok in TNG. Because it's not metaphorical, but it has the same kind of cadence as the language in Darmok.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I was sort of getting at. It's never going to be as good as Darmok. That's a really good episode of TNG, but I just don't like it. Do you have a least favorite? I can't remember ever hearing a least favorite.
I don't think I have a least favorite. I mean, a couple of the ones you mentioned, the fight, that's got to be pretty low. Fury, that's low on my list. I can't think of too many others that I really dislike.
There's a lot of forgettable ones.
There are a few forgettable episodes of Voyager, for sure. filler episodes. Well, you can tell they were filler episodes because they you know, were pumping money into higher budget episodes.
Well, yeah, but even then, they're not that bad. I mean, unforgettable is forgettable, but it's still got some interest to it. It's not boring like The Fight. They just like shoehorn Chakotay into a new interest for the week.
Yeah, they really had trouble coming up with things for Chakotay to be interested in. He's interested in archaeology and he's interested in boxing. And he was a little all over the
21st
place.
21st century Mars
but
missions.
Life is like that. People have diverse interests. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting.
How about characters? You mentioned that you love Kes, your third favorite character. What are your top two characters if Kes is your third favorite character?
I mean, it's probably quite basic, but Doctor and Seven. They've got the most growth throughout the whole show. I mean, the Doctor starts off sort of like, I guess, a curmudgeon, and then goes on to become a good person. Whereas Seven, obviously, she coming on in season four, they had to grow her character really quickly, but the idea of a drone that's been turned into a human is really interesting, and Jeri Ryan did an amazing job of that character. I know that Voyager gets a lot of criticism for being the Doctor to Seven and Janeway show near the end of it, but I still feel like they're the best two characters, and they play off each other really well.
I was going to ask this a little bit later, but while we're talking about the Doctor and Seven, let's talk about Voyager relationships. We'll do a quick thumbs up, thumbs down. Doctor Seven, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Okay, interesting. How about Chakotay, Janeway?
I like the idea, but I also don't...
The coin is on its edge.
Yeah, but I also don't like the idea of the captain and the first officer being in a relationship. But as two people forgetting their roles on the ship, thumbs up.
Okay, Chakotay 7.
No.
We have to take your temperature on these things just to know where you're going to fit in.
Yeah, that's two thumbs down. I don't like the idea of Doctor and Seven. Chakotay and Seven, sorry. I feel like I really want at the beginning of Picard for there to be like one line from Seven saying, "Nah, that didn't work out."
We might get our wish on that, actually.
Let's hope so.
How about Tom and B'Elanna?
I like them. They go well together. I feel like they're probably my favorite out of all of Trek in terms of relationships. It just seems probably the most natural of all of them.
The most realistic, I think.
I mean, Kira and Odo, I don't feel is a realistic one. Dax and Worf.
I don't think it was realistic. I enjoyed it, but I don't think it was realistic.
Yeah. I just think Tom and B'Elanna have the most... And I guess it comes down to the fact that they're on a ship and they're going to be there for the rest of their lives. Expectedly, the rest of their lives. And the fact that we get to see it grow and it didn't just appear out of nowhere, like Chakotay and Seven, for example. It was sort of just gratifying to watch.
Yeah, there was no basis whatsoever for Chakotay and Seven. It just all of a sudden it was in an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that I didn't like, and I also liked at the same time, is Neelix and Kes.
That was my next one on my list.
Because, I mean, I think I'm putting too much of a human perspective on it because she's two and he's a hairy old man. But at the same time, mentally she's not two.
Don't be so anthropocentric, man.
Well, that's a long word. But, I mean, I guess Neelix and Kes do work, I think, is an odd couple.
Interesting. I think a lot of people think it's way too weird. They didn't dwell on the weirdness of it enough in Voyager. But.
Back to Kes and why I like her. She had so much potential, and they didn't know what to do with the character. Like, having her go from a two-year-old to base, or, like, the equivalent to a teenager to old age in the space of a show of 7 years. They could have done so much with that character.
Yeah, they could have squeezed every aspect of an entire lifespan, all the ups and downs and drama and ways you change in the course of a human life, but compressed into a season or into the run of Voyager over 7 years. I think that was the original plan, right? Yeah. They wanted to do
that. Well, I mean, we had Elogium. That was a good episode. And we had her, that time, what's that one called? The one where they go, she seems to be traveling through time incorrectly. Before and After, was that it? In Before and After, like that was a good episode as well. And we could have had so many things like that based on her powers, well, telekinetic and whatever they're called. And yeah, I don't know, I just feel like we wasted an opportunity. We should have just got rid of Harry.
Well, they did. But Harry's gone. Harry died, right? No.
Well, I mean, maybe.
The real Harry died. It's fake Harry that's on Voyager now.
Maybe it would have been better with real Harry and not fake Harry. Although fake Harry's relationship with alternate timeline Kes was a bit strange as well. I didn't like those two.
Well, I guess we could spend a little time talking about missed opportunities like that. Mm. Like, I always thought that Tom and Kes was kind of a missed opportunity. When they did tease Tom and Kes inside of Before and After, I actually thought they had pretty good on-screen chemistry and they were pretty charming together.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I feel like B'Elanna was a much better fit for Tom in terms of she's...
tempering him.
Yeah, yeah. And that she's the stronger one of the two, and mm-hmm. but he tempers her as well.
Yep.
So I think they were the perfect match.
Do you have any, like, serious man crushes on any Voyager characters while you were growing up?
Before I understood what I was, it was definitely Seven of Nine. that went by the wayside after a while. But no, actually. Just very minor characters that I'm like, oh, they're attractive. Maybe the Bajoran boy in Learning Curve. And I've forgotten his name, but the one that's on Year of Hell with Anorax. I can't remember the character's name, though. The one that helped Chakotay and Tom.
Oh, sure. I don't remember his name either.
But other than that, no man crushes.
I remember his voice. He had his voice was memorable.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. And his eyes. But I don't have anywhere near as much as Suzanne has for Chakotay.
Well, let's talk about some other controversial things with Voyager. How about Endgame? How do you feel about Endgame?
I don't mind it. I mean, I would have liked to have seen some more of them actually being home. Them landing, for example, at a space dock near Earth, or even landing in San Francisco, or however they would have done it.
Well, that would have been
I'd have
fun.
Wanted to have yeah. seen them mm-hmm. step foot on Earth. I feel like we were robbed of that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like, where would they go? I mean, I guess they could go... how would they get there? Would they just beam down to San Francisco? What would they do?
I mean, it depends on how much of a news story, I guess, the actual ship had become and the crew had become. I don't know. I feel like we were robbed of them actually getting back to Earth, which was the premise of the whole entire show.
Yeah, no, we're onto something here. Voyager could have landed, because Voyager lands in Golden Gate Park, paralleling Star Trek IV.
Yeah, why not?
And a 24th century space garbage truck drives by.
I mean, anything. That would be quite funny to have paralleled the movie, actually. Hey, that would have been funny.
that's a great idea.
I did just think, what as a twist for the final episode, what if it actually turned out to be a second Silver Blood crew that actually landed?
Oh, instead of the real Voyager, yeah. It turns out the entire time it was the Silver Blood crew?
Yes. That would have just been like a strange ending, but...
well, the Silver Blood crew dissolved, essentially, right? They broke apart and died. So they'd have to, you know, account for that in some way.
Oh, they could have just said, oh, a second ship.
There are duplicate Voyagers everywhere throughout the galaxy.
Or it could have been those two people pretending to be Janeway and Tuvok in that rather odd episode.
Oh, yeah. That would be hilarious.
A cameo from them saying, we made it back before you.
I do like the idea of landing in Golden Gate.
Yeah.
I think there's something poetic about that. A little on the nose, but still poetic nonetheless.
But you see, I've got no problem with Janeway changing the timeline. We know she wanted to do anything she can to get that crew home. And of course, that's totally within her character to do that. Yeah, she's very much by the rules. I think losing Seven, was it Seven or was it Chakotay? Oh God, I can't remember. Who died? Was it Seven?
Seven had died and then Chakotay died.
Because that's right. Because Janeway was like, oh no, it was so hard living these years without her.
That's right. They were both dead. Because Janeway's at Chakotay's gravesite and she was talking about how Seven of Nine had died previously to him. Yeah.
And I didn't like the Tuvok losing his mind kind of storyline. I didn't really go a bundle on that.
It was too late to introduce something like that. No time to dwell on it or wrap it up or do anything interesting with
it. And I suppose they needed to find ways that would actually push Janeway to go back in time. Some of it was really good. Like, I liked the way that they did Endgame. There's a lot of things I didn't like, though, as well. So I'm sort of in thumbs up, thumbs down kind of way. I'm in the middle.
Okay.
I know Suzanne doesn't really like Endgame, does she?
No, and I'm neutral on it. I remember being really excited when it was on because I wanted to see how Voyager was going to wrap up. But I don't remember being a particularly great episode. But I remember being fun. I mean, anytime you get to see an alternate timeline or there's time travel, for me, that's always fun stuff in Star Trek. So it just had – and maybe some of those things were just getting old already. Like, there had already been time travel episodes in Star Trek. So what's new about it? But I thought it was fun.
I do tear up, though. Like – well up a little bit
when Voyager gets home.
I mean, every time
for half a second until the episode ends.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
feel let down. Can you imagine? See, they could have just had Janeway step foot on Earth in whatever park that park was called that you said in that movie.
Golden Gate Park.
Yeah, well, I've never been. I can't remember what it's called.
See, I grew up about 40 miles from San Francisco, so I've spent more times at Golden Gate Park than I can count.
Fair enough. I'm going to say they should just land in the outback.
How biased are you?
Well, it sounds like you are too. No, so Janeway stepping foot on Earth, shaking hands with Admiral Paris, and then Tom coming out with Admiral Paris as well.
Yeah, with his new grandchild.
Yes. That's something else I didn't like. I wanted B'Elanna and Tom to be on that bridge together. I wanted them to all be on that bridge.
There should have been a send-off shot like at the end of Star Trek VI, you know, when the whole crew is, the main crew is on the bridge, you know, and they all pose for the camera.
Yeah, I just...
They should have had a send-off. Exactly.
Or if that was the case, that's okay if they had them on Earth together. Like, or if we saw Janeway being promoted to Admiral because of the efforts that she made, all of that. So.
Well, how about Voyager movies? You know, if they had decided to do a series of Voyager movies, one or more movies, you know, if you remember, Suzanne and Kay and I did our own hypothetical series of Voyager movies, The Progenitors. We did all three movies, part one, part two, and part three.
I've got no issue with The Progenitors 1, 2, and 3. I think that would be a great movie series.
It would be a weird movie series, that's for sure. But is there anything you wish you could see on the big screen? Like, what future direction could they have taken Voyager in had they decided to make a Voyager movie?
Now, I would like, and this might be quite out there, and I did tweet this the other day as a short Trek idea that Brandon Shay Mutala used to be part of the network and is on The Line. About short treks, what we'd like to see, and that is something to do with the Voth. And I feel like we could make the Voth into a movie like you did, but it's slightly different because I feel like the Voth is such a cool character. I'd like to see the movie start with how the Voth left the planet or left Earth, because that is just a weird concept in its own right that the Hadrosaurs managed to leave Earth before.
That is a really weird bit of revisionist evolutionary biology, yeah. Yes.
I'd like to see that. I'd then like to see the Voth come back because they don't like the fact that they're from Earth and somehow have some beef with Earth and the Federation because it went against doctrine.
Wow, like the mammals versus the reptilians in the 24th century. I love it.
Yeah, and that because Voyager and Chakotay specifically were on the city ship, they know about the doctrine and how much they value doctrine. And then, yeah, something like that. I feel like that would be a good
idea. And Chakotay, of course, would go on an archaeological expedition to find the lost city of the Voth.
Can you imagine? That would be in Australia too.
Naturally, of course.
Just outside of Adelaide, because nothing else happens here. Yeah, no.
Well, you hit on something with these ideas for short treks. I mean, obviously, right now they have to use short treks to promote the new series that are coming. Mm. So, or and Discovery as well. So they're serving an advertising purpose, of course, and to keep people's interest between series. Between seasons. That's important too. But another use of these short treks could be to revive interest in some of the older Star Trek series. Why not have an original series short trek? Why not have a TNG short trek? It'd be hard, you know, not necessarily even reconstructing all the sets. Find something tangentially related to each of those shows and do a short trek just on that to revive interest in the older Star Trek series. That's a great idea.
That is. And we could do an episode on that, Voyager short treks.
I think Char and Tristan just did one, didn't
they? Oh, have they? I don't know. I haven't been able to listen to podcasts a lot recently.
Over on Punch It, I think they did.
Oh well, we'll steal it. No, we won't.
Great artist steal.
Yeah, I think that would be quite cool, having the Voth in a film.
I like that idea. It is such a weird, like, how could that possibly have been the case, that dinosaurs evolved to the point where they could, you know, leave the planet? And wouldn't they leave some evidence of their technological society behind, even as Earth was reshaped? I would like to see basically Indiana Jones, but with Chakotay going to search for the lost city of the Voth. I would watch that.
I would definitely watch that as well.
Well, the last thing I've got for you, is there anything you have been dying to talk about related to Voyager now that you're a host of To the Journey? What do you want to talk about in a future episode of To the Journey?
Oh, man. I mean, I've thrown a few topics on our list of topics, haven't I? Which could be interesting. I guess I like to think about the what-if scenarios and little stories. Like, I loved The Progenitors, even though it was, like, totally wacky.
No, it wasn't. Don't tell that to Kay.
It was an experience. But
it was quite a ride. Yes, it was.
I like that kind of thing. I also feel like I would love to talk about the recurring characters of Voyager and what kind of characters we should have had. I mean, like 8472, how they could have played into more stuff, the Vardwar, again, the Voth. Like, we could have had proper villains as opposed to just the Borg. I feel like that could have been cool.
I have a related idea to that. I actually thought that in the same way that Voyager picked up Neelix and Kes kind of as stragglers, that every time Voyager encounters a new alien race, they should pick up a straggler from that race. They should join
the ship. Like a recurring character style thing, like a Garak, for example.
Exactly.
Like, for that sort of level. Oh, that's a good idea. And what they could have done with that. I mean, they picked up the Borg, right? Seven.
What would a species 8472 crew member do on Voyager? What would be its natural talent?
Oh, God. Killing people?
It'd definitely be a security officer.
Yeah, yes. I reckon so, yeah, because that would be the most intimidating security. Can you imagine a species 8472 in a Starfleet uniform?
Well, would it be untransformed, or would it be transformed?
Oh, no, you'd need it in its non-humanoid form.
Okay.
That'd be boring otherwise.
Definitely reporting to Tuvok. I can picture Tuvok, you know, regularly having to, you know, reprimand or give this, you know, species 8472 crew member orders. There's something comical about it. I can't exactly explain why, but it makes me chuckle.
I just want to see a Starfleet uniform on one.
Yes.
That'll be a whole episode on how to replicate something that odd. Yeah, no, other than that, though, I'm just excited to talk Voyager. I would like to do some listener ideas, though. Like, obviously, these shows we make just to talk about our favourite shows, but they're also for the listeners to listen to us blab on about their favourite shows, you know? So, I mean, I guess if there's listener ideas, that'd be cool to do as well if they want to drop us a line.
The sky's the limit. Well, Liam, I just wanted to say how excited we are that you're going to be joining us on To the Journey. Suzanne and I have been writing with you for a while. You're super involved with us already on To the Journey behind the scenes. And now you're a host of To the Journey. So again, just welcome to the show. And we're so excited for all the topic ideas you bring to the table, too. Suzanne and I, frankly, we're having a little bit of a hard time coming up with new topic ideas to find things we hadn't already talked about on To the Journey. So we're looking for a fresh dose of topic ideas and energy from you. So we're glad you're joining the show. Welcome to To the Journey.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to try wind both of you up.
And Suzanne will be back soon when she's up and running. Like I said, Suzanne's not leaving the show or anything like that. She's just out of commission right now, and she'll be back here in a few weeks, and the three of us will carry To the Journey forward as we've always done.
Definitely got to stress, I am not replacing Suzanne. She's irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable. Or Kay, or Char, or Tristan.
And Laurie.
To the Journey's always been about moving forward, and we're moving forward.
To the Journey.
To the Journey. Well, it's been fun talking about everything we're going to do on the new version of To the Journey coming soon. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing here on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, continuing mission.
Why they killed that officer, what they have to do with Project Perseus.
Can I just throw my 2 cents worth in and say, I know who they are. They're Smurfs.
Oh, if only.
From the planet Smurfia. Tell me I'm right.
If you insist, sure, you're right. You're not, but I'll tell you.
Oh no, I've ruined it. Nice. I've ruined it for everybody.
So, yeah, that's the first mystery, and then a series of other mysteries happen as it becomes clear that on at least one other of the visionary class ships that have now they're now well on their way outside Federation space, that there was a saboteur.
Earl Grey.
But he also, the first day of shooting, I shook his hand and I said, Mr. Nimoy, you seem to think I know what I'm doing here, but I like really don't. And he had said to me in the audition for the Vulcan Mystique, think 1,000 years of wisdom behind the eyes. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's a tall order.
Yeah, that's a lot to put in the eyes.
Literary treks.
We're not messing around anymore. The reset button is gone. Characters' lives are going to move forward. Fortunes are going to change. When things happen, you can take it seriously. It's not all just going to get forgotten by the time the next book comes out next month. This is going to be something that is going to carry forward and is going to have lasting repercussions on all of the literary books, not just the ones written by Mac, not just the ones in this particular sub-series, but by joining them all together and having nods to the Star Trek Corps of Engineers, to Voyager, to DS9, to Enterprise.
Standard Orbit.
We've had some various folks and, guest star roles and things that had passed here and there, the last year or so. And all of that is sad, but when somebody who was really a part of the foundation of what Star Trek is and what it became, it really hits you kind of hard.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published, and please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So Zach, when you're not playing 20 questions about me and Voyager, where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, you just wait. Next time it'll be 30 questions. Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTreks, TrekFM show dedicated to Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Frueling. And how about you, Liam? When you're not joining Chakotay for a reptilian archaeological expedition, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the TrekFM network?
So you can find me on the Babel Conference, and you can also find me on Twitter. My handle is at LS74656.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these podcasts each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
There are a few people we'd like to make acknowledgements to. First is C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek FM, and also like to thank him for being brave enough to let me join to the journey.
He's the bravest soul I know.
Definitely. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, our art director, Aaron Harvey, and our production manager, Richard Marquez. We'd also like to thank our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau.
Well, be sure to join us next time on To The Journey when we'll reveal that Liam is actually a member of Species 8472. But until then, this has been To The Journey.
No, I can't think of
Captain Janeway in her bathtub trying to chase away the spank.
The spank?
Trying to chase away. No, the no.
Sorry.
What's it called? The monkey. Some kind of monkey.
I don't have no idea.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
It's okay.